Well, hey friends, welcome to my weekly Q&A session. It's good to have you here. Get a Bible, a notepad, a pen, and a better cup of coffee than I'm having. Hey, I'm going to do five questions in a minute, all about the work of Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit interacts with the Word of God in our life. As usual, I now have a new way of doing announcements. I'm putting them all in the notes below. So I've got 10 announcements listed below. Take a moment and check those out. And let me mention, only one I'm going to mention live is my new book, The Spirit-Filled Life. Get a copy. It will bless your socks off. Link below, and it's on Amazon or on my website. Good. So I've got five questions to do. Let me give you this question at the beginning. Who is Holy Spirit? What is exactly the Word of God? How do we know if we are interacting with the Holy Spirit or our emotions, the subjectivity of Holy Spirit? Question on what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And a follow-up one, how do we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? So, let's jump into these. Good. Did I say hi? Hi. Come on, question number one. Who is Holy Spirit? Well, this is a really easy one. Holy Spirit is God. Yeah? Now, I've actually just come to the conclusion there are some things about God that are too wonderful, too glorious, and that we don't have to explain everything, but that we can believe them. So I believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that the one. You know, at the beginning of Genesis, you see the Lord said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Elohim, first name used for God, is plural. Yeah? So, who is this Holy Spirit? He is God. He is God. God is the Spirit. There's the Father, the Son, the Spirit. He's absolutely God. He's not lesser. He's not a Pentecostal dove. He's not a feeling. He's not a goosebump. He created the universe. And yet, like the Son is different to the Father, there are characteristics of the Spirit. He can be grieved. He's sensitive. He's glorious. He's funny. He's powerful. He's the Holy Spirit. So who is Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. And again, as I said in a previous video this week, we've got to get away from this evangelical idea, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Book, as if that we've been born again and God's left us with a book that we've got to figure out with our brain. No, God hasn't left us. Jesus said, I'm going away. Jesus did leave his disciples for a period of about 40 days. And even then he kept reappearing. Guys, I still love you. I'm still around. Let's eat some fish. Kept showing up there. And Jesus came back in a way to his disciples. I'm not claiming he's not coming back again, but my point is they were no longer orphans on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, he didn't leave them with a book. He filled them with his Spirit. And of course, as we've been talking about all week, we need the book as well. So the Holy Spirit is God. Ooh, quick answer. Question number two. This is a really interesting one. What is the Word of God? Or I could actually more accurately say, who is the Word of God? You know, at a very simple level, let's go top down. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is a person. Again, I know in our mind, like, how about that person again? I just believe it. Jesus is God's Word. Jesus is the spokenness of God. The Word of God is a person. In Revelation 19, we see this vision of Jesus riding on a white horse with a name no man knows, and then it tells us the name. His name was the Word of God. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is a person. Yeah. Let me give you a few other things as well. The Word of God is the Bible, the Scriptures, in a way that is glorious and powerful, and only God could have thought about this. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And the words of Scripture are not just words or information. I could tell you something. I could say, the coffee cup is on the table. And I'm using words to convey a truth to you. When Jesus spoke words, they weren't just fact, they were truth. And more than that, they were life. In the same way as God took a dead, he made this perfect man called Adam, formed him out of the clay of the earth, and yet Adam was not alive, and then God came and breathed the roha, the breath of God, in, and this man became alive with the zoe of God. Yeah? In the same way, the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. So the Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God actually contains the life of the Spirit of God, but it's released by faith. If you come to it simply looking for facts and knowledge, the cup is on the table, you will find it there, and you won't get most of what's going on there. If you come to it in faith, you know, Deuteronomy 8:3, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every preceding word. A preceding word is one that's literally coming from God to you. It's like, as if you will, God used his word as a vehicle of the Spirit. The word is a vehicle of the Spirit. So, the Bible is the word of God. Now again, every time God speaks, that's the word of God. If God writes on the wall something like he did in Babylon, that's the word of God. If God speaks through a man or woman, if I'm preaching, I'm preaching the word of God, but you are getting a mixture of Grahamisms, coffee, stuff like that, and the words of God. So it's not, I am communicating God's word in this video to you, but it's not God's word in the same way as if you open the book of Ephesians is God's word. And the book of Ephesians isn't God's word in this exactly the same way as if Jesus walked into the room. So God's word is God speaking, God's word is Jesus, God's word is scripture, God's word is any time anybody communicates God's word to you. I mean, right now, you're probably watching this on a computer, on a phone, on a tablet, on a TV, or whatever, and Graham is speaking to you. Now, pause. You could say, no, my phone is, I'm looking at an image on a phone, and I have earpods in, AirPods, whatever, and I'm hearing vibrations caused over Bluetooth. Yeah, all of that's true. But once you get past the delivery method, Graham is speaking to you. So we shouldn't get so hung up on the delivery method. The only question we should ask is this truly God speaking to us? Boom. Hope that makes sense. Question number three, and this is a deep one. I'm going to talk about this more as I delve into the book and cover some of the chapters there, but it's about the subjectivity of Holy Spirit. How do we know when we are encountering, engaging, hearing, feeling Holy Spirit, or whether it's our own emotions, our own sense of what's going on? I have a friend who years ago said to me, when he was a young Christian, he could never tell the difference between a coffee buzz and the anointing. And you know, he was joking, of course, but I know what he meant. In a way, he was saying, I come into God's presence and I feel this feeling. And yet at times, I feel that feeling with other things. I remember my daughter once years ago, when she's a little girl, maybe about 4 or 5, she stood up once in our church in France, and she said, when I worship Jesus, I have a funny feeling in my tummy. And now I, again, dads are biased, aren't they? So I think that was Holy Spirit working in and through her. But not every funny feeling in your tummy is Holy Spirit. So how can you learn to differentiate between the two? How do we move from subjectivity to objectivity? A few quick thoughts on that. I mean, firstly, does it line up with the Word of God? Holy Spirit will never say to you anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. If you feel you're hearing something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it out. I'm not interested in even doing that. Judge it. You don't judge the Bible. The Bible judges you. But you do judge your you don't judge Holy Spirit, but you judge your experience of Holy Spirit. So does it line up with the Word of God? Secondly, does it line up with the principles of the Word of God? For instance, I found a lot of people who think they're being led by the Spirit, but what they're led to do causes pain or manipulation or control. I will often hear charismatics say, yeah, Holy Spirit told me to do this. But what they think he told them to do overrides my or somebody else's free will. So they cross a barrier. Holy Spirit's not a manipulator. He coaxes, he persuades. He's a persuader, but he's not a manipulator. So is it in line with the character of God? Is it in line with holiness, with purity, with walking away from sin and walking towards God? You know, Satan will not tempt you to spend an hour in worship. Satan will not tempt you to do righteous things. He tempts you in the other way. So where does it lead you to? Two more things. I would also say, again, some charismatics don't like this, but you've got to test your subjective leading of the Spirit by, is it actually real? Does it actually happen? If you think God is speaking to you, and I'm sure he is, you know, develop a track record, a history where you find out, is what God's saying actually real? You know, if God's telling you there'll be a man on the corner with a red hat, go to the corner and look for men with red hats. But if you don't see a man with the red hat, don't go, oh, you know, there's a mystery behind this. God was testing me. No, you got it wrong. So test it with reality. And lastly, I would say this. Here's what we really need to do with Holy Spirit. We need to get familiar with him. If I spoke to my wife right now, even though she's on another continent thousands of miles away, I would instinctively know it's her. I know her voice. I know her intonation. I know her character. The more you know somebody, the more you will recognize their voice. And I think the problem is most of us don't try to hear from God or experience him that often until we need him. And then we get more influenced by the fear of getting it wrong than getting it right. Selah. More to come on that one. Last two questions here. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? So I've covered this on a bunch of previous videos, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit, in my understanding, some disagree, but I'm right. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience for Christians. It can happen on day one of your new life, or it can never happen to you. But it's available on day one to everybody. It's an experience where God fills a born-again believer with his Spirit to overflowing. The Spirit's in you when you're born again, but to be baptized in the Spirit is to receive an anointing of power that you can then minister the life and power of Jesus. You can give witness to the resurrection of Jesus. You receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So I think it's an anointing to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach, open blind eyes, open prison doors, set at liberty those who are bruised, bind up broken hearts. The anointing's in you relationally, but he comes on you for service. So it's an experience where God fills us to overflowing. Now, in my understanding of Bible experience, everybody who is baptized in the Spirit can, and I say can, speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is, in a way, it's like the only gift that there is this private usage of it. There's a public usage of it that needs to be with a gift of interpretation, but there's a private use of that. Now, some people teach, and I'm not against that doctrine, that it's the evidence of the baptism in the Spirit. I think you can infer that, but it's not that clearly laid out in Scripture, but I have no problem with that teaching. So everybody baptized in the Spirit should speak in tongues. Some people will never speak in tongues because they're so fearful, or they've been around poor teaching, and often people need a little bit of a help to release that gift. But I've never seen anybody baptized in the Spirit who couldn't quickly step into the gift of speaking in tongues if they walked in humility. So baptism in the Spirit is an experience where God fills us with power, overflowing power for witness. Last question is, how do we receive the baptism in the Spirit? Well, again, I came from a denominational background, Assemblies of God, at least in the UK, where they teach on this, but it was never exactly quite clear how you get it. And you'd have hands laid on you and at times be encouraged to fall over, and somebody would be in front of you yelling out, let it out, let it out. And somebody's behind you, hold it in, you kind of don't know what to do. Literally, God baptized me in the Holy Spirit in my sleep, because I think he had to get past my rational mind that was trying to understand him and work him out. So I have learned that I can help people into this experience quickly, but I always do it through teaching. Paul says in Galatians 3, did you receive the Spirit because you kept all of the laws, or by the hearing of faith? And of course the answer is the hearing of faith. And the problem is, if we try and be filled with the Spirit but we've never had any teaching on it, we don't have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You receive the Spirit by hearing of faith. Faith comes by hearing. So what I have learned over the years is, if I'm going to pray for people to be filled with the Spirit, I will teach them for 2 or 3 minutes. That's all it takes. Probably I could do it in 1 minute. I give them some teaching on this. And that way, I enable them to receive the gift by faith and not by feelings. So I will simply do this. I'll give somebody some quick teaching, 1, 2, 3 minutes. I'll then pray with them based on the teaching I have given them, and I'll help them to reach out and receive by faith, not feeling, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we'll then thank God that they are now filled with the Spirit. No feelings, no goosebump, no shaking, whatever. I'll then lay hands on them and help them release that gift of tongues. Now, usually at that moment, people are experiencing fuzziness, funny feelings in their tummy. People will laugh, cry, fall over, shake. I see that happen probably about 60 or 70% of the time that people feel something. But I've learned I'm not going to sacrifice the 30% of people on the altar of feelings. I tell people, if you feel something, that's great. If you don't feel anything, that's great. Believe by faith that you got it. Faith receives 100% of the time. Feelings do not receive 100% of the time. So how do you receive this gift? You receive it by faith, and then thank God for it. Faith says thank you for what it believes it has received. Mark 11:24. So what I would then encourage anybody to do is open their mouth and by faith start speaking in tongues. Now again, sometimes you got to take your rational mind and tell it to go sit in the corner. Tell it to have a bad cup of coffee for 5 minutes. Because your brain will go, that doesn't make sense. What am I going to say? Let me prepare this message in tongues in advance. And if somebody will simply open the mouth and by faith, begin speaking out from their innermost being, that river of life will flow. But they've got to speak from here, not from here. Sila. So that's how we receive and step into the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Guys, thanks for watching. I'll be back next week with another chapter of this book, chapter 3. I'm going to be speaking all about the measure. To what measure can we be filled and experience Holy Spirit? Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Be with your church. Grab a copy of my book, The Spirit-Filled Life, and check out the announcements below. I'll see you real soon. Bye for now.